This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you with a gracious heart. I love that word, gracious. We're going to talk about that a lot today. To another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. My guest today, Stacy Couch, found herself on a journey, like most of us, right? But she was going through this transition phase in her life, and what showed up for her doesn't surprise me from a shamanic perspective, because of course I'm all about that, the shamanic journey and really embracing the spirit world. But I think it was a little bit of a surprise for Stacy, and I'm going to let her talk about it as she kind of explains her journey and how she got to be where she is now on this path of combining her gifts as a biology conservationist and appreciating her connection to the spirit world. So welcome to Soulful Living, Stacy.
Hi, Terry. How are things going?
Hey, we're here. You know, you and I talked briefly before we came on live that we've been kind of communicating for a few months now, and I'm just so glad that we made this happen. And let's dive right in, girl. Let's talk about it. You've got a book out called Gracious Wild. Of course, I love that word, gracious. And your website, Wild Gratitude, where you show up to serve people on the soul level. And how did you get to that place?
Yeah, especially coming from a science background, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was quite a shift. I did have an open mind. I was raised in a household where my mother, she studied light work and energy healing with a group of women for a two-year program. So she shared about meditation and how to use the light to work through difficult situations and also spread kindness. And also she exposed me to power animals and things of that nature. So I had a contact with it from a very early age, but I didn't take that stuff and put that in the normal world, ordinary world, I guess I'd say. So I was kind of off in the ethers, a little hobby or something that I like to pursue in my free time, but I really thought I had to go out and do something conventional to make a living, but I really wanted to be a part of nature, so that's how I ended up getting an environmental science degree and conservation degree.
And you found yourself alone on an island. What was that like?
Yeah, it was very, very, very isolating, as anybody would expect. It was really, really tough, especially at the start, dealing with all of the chatter in my mind and getting to encounter my fear. Because here I am on this island alone. What if something happens to me? Nobody's going to know. All of those kind of shadow fears crept in during that time. So it was really challenging, but that was incredibly eye-opening too, in that what started happening is these things that I thought were just the things I pursued in my free time and were just fun to study or play with, they started showing up in my ordinary world. In my world, in a really big way. I was having really busy dream life while I was on the island, and then I was also visited by a series of hawks, which really, my encounters with those hawks really made an impact on me.
And that is one of the focuses of your book, Gracious Wild, your journey with the hawk. And your journey with the hawk as you moved off of the island as well. For myself, hawk is definitely one of my spirit animals and spirit guides. I connect very deeply with them. I love the cover of your book and how you really talk about your connection with them and the difference that they made in your lives. And it wasn't just one in the beginning. You found yourself on like a migratory path for the hawks, right?
Yeah, they actually, the island I was living on, they had visited there on occasion throughout recorded history, but this was the first summer they were ever recorded nesting on the island, these northern harrier hawks, a certain species of hawks. So it was a really novel scientific discovery, and they were nesting right next to where I lived. So I saw them and spent time with them every day walking the different paths I had to go. They were with me. I got to see them raise their young and do the mating dances for each other and see their young fledge. I was there through the whole cycle with them on a day-to-day basis, which was really captivating because here I was with the mind chatter on one side or the more shadow work on one side, which could very much get me down, and then the light of these beautiful beings that were my neighbors. So it was the time I got to spend with them was actually my most precious.
I can really feel that. I can feel that from you, and I can carry that feeling in myself because I love working with hawks, obviously not on the level that you do, which is a good time to ask. I mean, how you also became a handler and a trainer of hawks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you left the island.
Yep. Yeah. I left the island after 10 months there. I was on for 8 days, off for 6 days. So those eight-day tours started to wear me down. I was ready to go live back on the mainland in one place at a time. And so I started volunteering at a wildlife rehabilitation center, and they had a couple hawks there that were ambassador birds that were taken to schools and all around the community to help raise awareness about birds of prey. And so I volunteered to be a handler for these hawks, to take them out on walks and take them to these programs and just make sure they were comfortable being with people.
Mm. And was there something more symbolic for you personally, and you know, for how they showed up in your life?
Yeah, definitely. The very obvious one was the first hawk that I saw when I was touring, getting ready to volunteer at the rehabilitation center, was a northern harrier hawk, the same hawk species that I had discovered on the island. So there was a synchronicity there for certain that I absolutely couldn't ignore. And there also was just this magnetic draw to them. I know a lot of people have that. And I am really comfortable in the presence of a lot of different animals. And I was not afraid of them. I'd handled different hawks before, seabirds, all sorts of different birds. So mm-hmm. Some people are kind of afraid of the talons and the beaks and stuff, and I knew that they had way more fear of us as humans than I ever could of them. And so I was really interested in that whole exchange of how do I work with them in a way where they can learn to trust me.
Right.
Getting the trust of a wild animal was something that was really precious to me, and also a soul-evolving process that I was up for and really excited to become a part of.
And what do you think a hawk symbolizes, you know, from a shamanic perspective?
Yeah, it really varies on the species, but overall for us, the hawks really symbolize vision. They have very, mm-hmm. very, very good vision. They can see, take in the whole landscape as they're soaring above, and they can also zero in and see something at a very small level on the ground, like a mouse or a squirrel. They can zoom in on that and get a really good picture of it easily. So there's that ability metaphorically, but also they carry our prayers for us to the heavens. I really believe that they are a more direct messenger for us. Eagles sometimes have been, you know, are often seen as messengers of the gods, and I feel like the hawks are kind of the other way around, that they bring our prayers to the gods or to the heavens for us, because we're in contact with them more. They seem to be a little more easily, it's easy to get in touch with them, easy to reach out to them. They're a lot more conspicuous in our world. We see them more frequently, and they soar and land in trees, and they're just around us a lot more, too. So there's that connection. They help us connect with the heavens and with the divine in a really beautiful way.
Well, and you mentioned in the course of this conversation, ordinary reality and non-ordinary reality. And you had a couple of teachers in your book that you talk about, but I also want to get kind of your version of the shamanic teachings, and then I'd like you to talk about the two hawks in particular that were the teachers in your book. So first, what would your perception of the shamanic teachings be? Shamanic work.
In terms of ordinary versus non-ordinary reality?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's this world, which is the ordinary reality that we can see, touch, taste, and feel with our five senses. This is the scientific realm, the realm which we don't believe anything unless it makes sense and unless we can make sense of it, that we can contact it with our five senses. That is the ordinary world. In the ordinary world, we are restricted by time and space, so we can't time travel back or forward, and we also, there's only one place we can be at a time, and time is seen as linear in ordinary reality. In non-ordinary reality, there are a lot of conventions that are not true, so time is circular or everything is happening at once. In non-ordinary reality, we aren't limited by constraints of space or gravity. We can travel in the blink of an eye to the other side of the continent. And also, I think I already said time is circular. So that's a big difference, the time and space piece. But also in non-ordinary reality, we also have the gift of our intuitive sense. And that's where we can make contact with the spirits. The spirit realms, and be it spirit animals or spirit guides, and really start to have an energetic connection with all things that we cannot necessarily feel with our five senses. It may ripple over, and we may feel it kinesthetically or have a vision with our through our imagination. But ultimately, all of it is, there's just a lot more possibilities in non-ordinary reality, and is actually more towards closer to the truth than ordinary reality is.
Well, in my work, I like to say, which I'm sure you can appreciate, is that in non-ordinary reality, ego doesn't play into it. You know, you totally let go of, well, the hope is that you totally let go of ego. And in ordinary reality, ego plays a big role until we can get to a point where we recognize and let go of the ego's need to control where we're at right now. And how does one access non-ordinary reality?
Yeah, well, one of the ways is to step out of our own way, so to let go.
Right.
Of ego. Yeah, it's really hard to go on a shamanic journey into non-ordinary reality clinging strongly to the ego. I teach my students about that there is a balance of both directing the experience and surrendering to it. And there comes a point where if we're on a shamanic journey and we're in non-ordinary reality and we're really directing the experience, we're really trying to make things happen or envision something going a certain way, we will hit a block and we'll be stuck. And that's the point at which we have to stop and let go of the ego, let go of the need to control the situation or to have a certain outcome and surrender, and then things flow and move in a direction that's way more beautiful and way more expansive than we expected in the first place, which is just amazing. So the way to get to non-ordinary reality is to intentionally do that. We do it in dreams a lot, or in our daydreams some, is to go on a shamanic journey. And I work with rhythmic percussion or drumming. Mm-hmm. To go into an altered state of consciousness, and then in my mind's eye, I see myself come up out of my body and travel with a spirit animal to the other realms.
And isn't it amazing what can appear before you? I love the word surrender, when you surrender to the experience.
Yeah, it really is outstanding. The kind of support that steps forward to help us, and the new ideas or concepts or revelations that we're exposed to, it really does help us make big progress in our lives and let go of the illusion and the ego.
Yeah, it really is. And allowing your intuition to just guide you as well in all of that. Okay, so again, listeners, I'm chatting with Stacy Couch. You can find all of Stacy's information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. And we're talking about Stacy's work. And you can certainly reach out and work with Stacy wherever you are in the world. You know, one of my favorite ways of supporting clients is remote sessions. And Stacy, I know that you work remotely with people. What does that mean for you? How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work by phone and sometimes by Skype if people are brave to be on video. I know it's still kind of new for a lot of people, but occasionally on Skype, or if someone's in another country, that's a nice free way that we can connect and works really well. So yeah, and then what we do is the same thing as if we were in person. We talk through what's up in their lives right now, what in them is calling for attention. I so much think so many times we're looking for the problem or want to talk about the issue, but really it's what is our soul asking, where is our soul asking for attention or asking for us to put our attention. So we have that conversation, and then I go ahead and I do the shamanic journey. I listen to the drumming and I narrate the whole experience as it unfolds, so the person on the other end of the line gets the opportunity to hear it and experience it right alongside me. And then once I have retrieved the healing, I do a lot of soul retrieval work. I saw you do that too, Terry. And so I do soul retrieval work, and when I'm bringing the soul parts back, I do a middle world journey. So I travel through this world in non-ordinary reality to where the person is to deliver the healing to them. And they often report that they sense the energy coming in. Some people, it's very impactful. So it's, you know, we seem to think that we're limited by where our bodies are, but we're actually not. And that's the gift of shamanic healing, is that it is outside of time and space. So I can travel to people no matter where they are to deliver the healing. And then afterwards, we talk through the symbols and signs and metaphors that we saw in the journey and what those might mean to help the person know how to integrate the healing further into their life.
And that is really a key, is they're being able to integrate that, the healing, into their lives in whatever way that shows up. There's so many ways for that to happen. So I think it's very powerful and profound that you concentrate on that as well, on how they can integrate it. Because, you know, we do this work, and it's it seems like it would be a loss if we didn't counsel them on how to integrate that work and what might show up for them along the way. It sounds like it's beautiful the way that you deliver the process.
Yeah, I'm really interested in empowering people so that they have the opportunity. This is their story. This is
right.
Their mythology, their healing that I'm just handing to them. And then they are empowered to work with and learn about and explore further. That's really important to me, is direct revelation.
Yeah, I like to tell people that I like you said, you know, I'm a facilitator. I'm facilitating this process for you. This is your work. You know, this is your work. This is your story. And, you know, the healing, that's up to you as well.
Yep.
How you move forward from that. Okay, I missed a question here. Something that I really want to go back to. And I'd like to talk about the two hawks that actually showed up for you that you talk about in the book Gracious Wild.
Yeah, so there are two hawks that were at that rehabilitation center that are trained to work with people, and one of them was named Talia. She's that northern harrier hawk that I mentioned, and then the other one's name was Grasha. She's a red-tailed hawk. And so I share some of the private moments, a lot of the private moments that those gals and I spent together, because it was very rare, actually, that we went out to do presentations. They only had to do 12 a year, so if you do the math, that's one a month.
Mm-hmm.
But every day they needed to be fed and interacted with, and I thought it was really helpful to be able to take them out on walks as much as I could, because otherwise they sat in a cage by themselves all day. So I spent a lot of time just them and me out on walks, and I share those intimate moments with them in the book. And I also share my personal shamanic journeys. I learned to do shamanic journeying during the course of the time that I was working with those hawks, and my journeys wove in with my experiences with the birds. And so it's a pretty amazing story of synchronicity, and I wasn't planning on writing a book about it. I was just fascinated by how everything was related to each other, and how I was constantly seeing more and more as it was revealed to me through dreams and journeys and times with the hawks. And so I had a really good written record of it by the time I was prompted to write the book. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's an amazing book. Listeners, I really urge you to grab Stacy's book, Gracious Wild, A Journey with the Hawks, and read about her story and how you can also incorporate your own story into your life. You know, something else that you mentioned earlier in our conversation was that you grew up in a household where energy work was practiced. And fast forward to where you are now, what would you say kind of sets shamanic work apart from other healing modalities, such as energy work? What's the difference?
Yeah, there's a really beautiful structure that's tens of thousands of years old, and it's archetypal. And that's what I think is really powerful about shamanic work. No matter where you go around the world, you can find shamanic practices at the root of every culture. And these practices arose independent of each other, but they all have similarities or commonalities. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it archetypal. And so through shamanic work, we're really tapping into the collective unconscious. We're really tapping into the experience of being human and why we're here. Joseph Campbell's hero's journey really speaks to a lot of what can happen on a shamanic journey. And so it's this heroic journey of the soul that shamanism speaks to and helps and gives it story and richness and color. We so end up with energy work a lot of times because we don't have the words to explain it. We end up talking about it in kind of esoteric terms. And then people end up getting called woo-woo, unfortunately, because they're not using more concrete terms. And so that's where my science background comes in and really marries well with the shamanic work, because there's concrete tactile imagery and story and metaphor that are just so rich and multi-layered. So it's not just one quick answer. There's this, I still go back to journeys that I did that I tell about in the book, which were over 10 years ago. And every time I read them or I review them, I learn something new. And that tells you about the richness of this work.
Well, and you know, you learn something new by what you experience during that journey, whether they're symbolic or also including some types of what people today deem as energy work. You know, what we do in that shamanic journey is so inclusive of so many different things.
Exactly.
It's amazing. It really is. Well, Stacy, we're down to the wire here. We only have 2 minutes left. It goes by so fast, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely.
I have a feeling you and I could talk for hours about our work and the experiences that we've had on shamanic journeys and in nature. I totally appreciate the way that hawks and eagles and other animals, our spirit animals, show up in our lives and work with us. As I close, I love for my guests to leave the listeners with something that they can take out into the day to elevate their soul and really empower their life. What would that be for you? What would you say that they can do right now to help elevate their soul?
Yeah, I think so many people wonder what their spirit animal is. I think that comes into play a lot, and they wonder if they need to be worthy or special in some way to have a spirit animal. And my message is that we all have a host, a whole team of spirit animals that are working with us and for us on a constant basis. And they're sending messages to us through animals out in the natural world. So as you're going throughout your day, as you encounter different animals, see a hawk fly over your car or see a squirrel out in the park, those animals are speaking to us. They're bringing us messages all of the time. And it's important to look for those messages and take notes.
Thank you, Stacy. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for that powerful message.
Yes, you're very welcome.